Well, we're going to take just a few minutes to study together. So before we do, let's pray. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. As Messianic believers, we know something, and that is Passover is still relevant today. And we also know that Messiah is relevant today. And we know that at Passover, it's not an either or. We see the integration, the connection, the unity of the first Passover and every other Passover, and the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Yeshua, which took place during Pesach. We see that connection. And so we commemorate and remember and celebrate the Exodus out of Egypt, and we also celebrate Messiah Yeshua and all he has done for us. So those things fit in well together. It's not an either or. We don't keep the Passover as something ancient. We keep it as something present, something powerful, and something relevant. And I was considering something about Pesach, the emotional ups and downs that people have in life and that are accentuated often around holidays. You know, for some people, holidays are the best of times, and for other people, they're the worst of times. Depression, sadness, alienation, often are at their strongest points while other people are celebrating. Sometimes people feel, well, why not me? And in fact, we see at Passover time that there's this human tendency, it's a normal human tendency, there's nothing strange about it, and that is to go from hope into the valley of disappointment. And actually, the question is, which comes first, hope or disappointment? Sometimes the Lord finds us only when we're hopeless, when we're living in disappointment, when we're living in sorrow without that which we're hoping for. When we're in need and when we say, I've done everything I thought I could to solve my problems or to get an answer or to have a breakthrough, and it didn't work, and in desperation we cry out to God. We may even, as the Israelis like to say, we cry out to the God we don't believe in. Sometimes. Sometimes the actual cure for agnosticism and atheism is life. And the problems and troubles. I talked to some elderly Jews who served in the Soviet military, and they'd really been raised in an atheistic culture, and I asked them, did you ever pray to God, because things were so bad, you called out to God, even though you didn't know that for sure if there was a God? And every one of them who I've asked this question said, absolutely. And then they tell me a story. One story, typical story, in time of war, where people thought there was no hope for themselves, that they were going to die in a perilous battle. And they cried out to God, and God delivered them. And then I have a follow-up question. So afterwards, what did you do? And you know what the typical answer is? I didn't know what to do. That's the typical answer. I called out to God. He answered me. It didn't fit into my paradigm. I'm glad, but then I filed it away. And in fact, some told me, you're the first person who's ever asked me this question. I forgot it even happened. But it stirred up something. You see, sometimes troubles can be used by God to bring us close to him. And it's not that he sends us the troubles, it's that he will use anything and everything to help people come close to him. Sometimes it's in disappointment, it's in fatigue, it's in hopelessness, if you will, that we cry out to God, and then he answers us. And that's exactly what happened when the children of Israel were in Egypt. It got so bad, everyone cried out to God. It got so bad, everyone was ready to leave Egypt. And they did, but they left on God's terms. And he purchased the Jewish people. He redeemed the Jewish people, and he actively, not passively, rescued us. The word Passover or Pesach is often misunderstood because we think it means that God skipped the houses of the children of Israel when it means the exact opposite. Pesach is a word that's used to describe a lamb bouncing through a field. And it says the Lord was like such a lamb, bouncing from house to house in Egypt looking for one thing. What was it? The blood of the lamb. And where was he looking? On the doorpost, not on the windows, not at the back door, on the doorposts. He was looking for what he had told the people to do. And whenever he saw the blood of the lamb, the scripture says that he came to that house, and then he would not allow the angel of death to come in. That's active. It's not passive. It means that the rescue of God is not just circumstantial. It's direct. It's personal. And the God of heaven and earth came down to earth, and he intervened wherever he saw faithfulness on the part of the people. And he's doing that today. He's still working in that way. He's looking. He's looking for people who take a step of faithfulness and who express faith. Now, here's the thing. After the children of Israel get out, where does the Lord allow us to go? Before we get to the wilderness, to the trap, which feels like the trap for us, right? But it's not. It's the trap for the enemy. But what's the normal human response? Bad idea to leave. What was I thinking? You know, it really was better. Who are these guys who took us out? You see, having cried in despair and then been filled up with anticipation of deliverance, all it takes is one circumstance for disappointment to kick back in. And the disappointment is this, that the difficulties aren't over. It seems like they should be over by now. Have you ever been like that? Maybe you are today. The disappointment in Moses, disappointment in God. So they go from hope to disappointment. Right? Then the sea opens up. Somebody says they ought to make a movie about this. No one will believe it. Somebody else says, well, let's write some songs. Let's at least write this down, and we'll tell the next generation what happened. The children of Israel get to the other side. They forget all their disappointments. And now they're filled with hope again. It's like, this is great. Fantastic. It couldn't be better for a little while. So there's this cycle. It's a normal human cycle. Hope, disappointment. Hope, disappointment. Now, the same thing happened at Yeshua's last Passover. He's getting together with his disciples, and he says, oh, I've longed to have this time with you. And then he makes clear, so I'm going to die. Yeah. And they're disappointed again. And they have to struggle with their disappointment because they think that hardship always ends in sorrow. They forget what it leads to. And do you remember Yeshua even says to Peter, it won't be long before you deny me. And Peter says, not me, boss. These other guys, not me. And then when Yeshua is taken, people look at Peter and say, hey, this guy was with him. And he says, no, you got the wrong man. I don't even know him. Not me. And you see in Peter this expression of alienation, this expression of disappointment, this expression of fear, just mixed up all together. And Peter thinks, you know, it was a mistake. Why did we let our emotions get away from us? Why did we think it was going to be good? It's not good. It's all ruined. And then it turns out it gets even worse. Yeshua is crucified. He's tortured. He's disfigured. He's humiliated. And no one can rescue him. People even say, rescue yourself. And he doesn't. He's buried, and everyone wants to scatter because they're in the valley of disappointment yet once again. We thought the kingdom was coming. We thought this was the end of all of that garbage. Now we have nothing. The people are disappointed yet again. Now, in the midst of this cycle of hopefulness and disappointment, think of God's perspective. He's thinking something really different. He's thinking, this is tough, but we're moving forward. This is hard, but I know where we're headed. This may look bad, but it's really good. People may be afraid, but this is the way we have victory. And if you think about that disappointment, that's very understandable at the human level. And you compare it to the faithfulness and the peace and even the faith of God. Then you can make such a contrast because at the very time that all of the disciples are struggling with the emotion, Yeshua is accomplishing a victory that requires that he go down. He has to go down into the grave. You understand that? He has to go down into Sheol, if you will. He has to go down to the place where the dead are kept in order to bring the dead out of their bondage into their freedom. And then he comes up from the grave. And he comes up leading people into a procession of liberty. Resurrected people coming with him. And he stops and he speaks of the kingdom to his disciples. And then he says, I gotta go. And they're saying, not again. We just thought the cycle of disappointment was over. And the Lord doesn't say any consoling words. He just says, you're not orphans. You're not being left alone. I've got to go so I can finish what I set out to do. And in order to finish what I set out to do, I've got to change you. And I can't change you without you receiving the Holy Spirit. I've got to make you into a new creation. I've got to put the very person of God inside of you. It's enough to know about God externally, but it's not enough. It's good, but it's not enough. You need God on the inside, working in your heart, working in your soul, working in your body, working in your mind. You need Him on the inside empowering you. You cannot do this on your own. And so three times, three ways, if you will, we experience the victory of Yeshua going down. Because He went down, He went up. First, He went up from the power of death into resurrection life, so that you and I could experience resurrection life. That's what we need. We don't need to just be more religious. If that's all that was necessary, this problem could have been solved a different way. But Yeshua went down into the grave in order to bring us up from the grave. He who had victory over the power of death rose from the dead so that you and I also can experience resurrection life in Messiah in this world. And then He went up again, returning to heaven, so that He could send the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit could come down and fill us and give us new life from the inside. And then all of this is an anticipation of a third going up for us that involves another coming down for Him. And that is absolute resurrection, an absolute transformation to bring us into the realm of eternity with the Lord. And I think the Lord is looking for people who are going to get used to the idea that you don't have to live in disappointment. You can live in hope. You can live not with the dread of what's going to go wrong next, but with the certainty that no matter what comes your way, the Lord who is with you has a plan for good. And so you don't have to be superstitious. You don't have to knock on wood. You don't have to be cautious. You can be wildly expectant of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's the victory of God. That's what He's looking for. Now, something has to die in order for something to live with resurrection life. And what needs to die is that subordination to the kingdom of darkness, to the despair, to the sense of being abandoned by God to our own devices. One of my prayers to the Lord is this: please don't get tired of me. Don't let me exasperate you to the point that you just want to have nothing more to do with me. Some of you can't imagine that God could be impatient with you. I have experience. But his graciousness exceeds everything else. And so His rebuke, His chastisement, His punishment, His correction is for good, not for evil. And I can tell you that I'm still alive. I made it. You are too. So at Pesach, we're called to make a memorial, a time of remembering. How do we do this? We remember the Exodus from Egypt, all of it. And we remember as well the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah. And we knit those things together into one, because those are part of one story, the story of God's faithful, covenantal mercy towards Israel and to the nations of the world. It's one story that has two different sides to it. And you and I, as Messianic believers, have the joy of being aware of both chapters, if you will. Both chapters, not one or the other. It's not an either or, it's both and. And for that reason, we ought to be filled with hope. Now, we may not have the same kind of services that some of our traditional Jewish brothers and sisters do. That's okay. And we may not have some of the services that some of our traditional Christian brothers and sisters do. That's okay too. But when people say to you, do you keep the Passover? You should be able to say, of course. And when they say, well, when do you celebrate the resurrection? You might be able to say, every day. Every day. But let's not forget that this is one of those unusual weekends when the banks are closed and the post office isn't working and Good Friday comes on Pesach and it's during Passover that Easter comes. Don't be afraid. You can ask me later about the scholastic confusion of the word Ishtar and the Germanic word from which Easter came, very different words, but we won't deal with it right now. But if you're confused about that, I just wanted to let you know. I said Easter, and I wasn't talking about Ishtar. I just want you to know that, in case you thought, okay, now what's happened to the rabbi? Relax. Relax. But in any case, this is a time to unite your faith in Yeshua and tonight the integrity of God's faithfulness to the Jewish people and all the nations of the world. And I want to encourage you to make the best of it, make the most of it today, tomorrow, and in the days to come. And use this Passover and resurrection season, the season of redemption, the season of freedom. Use it for good, for yourself and for other people. And speak words of encouragement to those who are dealing with difficulty. Because you may be the one person who can turn the situation around for someone else who's lost in sorrow. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you deliver us from every evil thing. You deliver us from all despair and all hopelessness. You deliver us through the trials and the tribulations. And you fortify us. You help us in so many ways so that our faith will renew us and your faithfulness will strengthen us. Thank you for Yeshua, our Messiah, who died for us so that we could live for you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? And do we have coffee next door? Yes! Coffee next door. Don't forget, bring your kids. Pick them up first, yes. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichonecha yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you during this Passover season. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Pesach Sameach.